Brother and I are 6 years apart. I always joke and say, little brother, he's 6'9", and he is bigger than I. But being that we are 6 years apart, when I was 10 and he was 4, sometimes we were a handful for a single mother. I was certainly blessed, as was my brother, to be raised by a great mother who worked hard to provide for my brother and I. When I was around the age of 11, my mother met a man that she dated for a while, and my brother and I tried our best to run him off. We wanted to test his mettle and to see exactly how much he loved our mother. Well, 30 plus years later, he's still around. And I am certainly proud to call him my dad. A man that was willing to step in and to take on that role when we weren't his blood children, but he was willing to step in and provide for us and protect us and be there when we needed him. And I'm certainly thankful that he was not only there to take care of us, but also to take care of my mother. He was not a Christian when my mother met him, but he is now. And he was later converted as my mother studied with him when we were younger, and he was converted to Christ, and for that I'm extremely grateful. And now they're retired and old people, and they live out in Arizona with all the other retired and old people, and they attend a wonderful church out there, and for that I'm ever grateful. But he was a wonderful example to me and my brother for a man who worked hard and provided for us and who was always there for us when we needed him. Tonight, as we continue our one-word study, we're going to talk about fathers. And as we talk about fathers, I think we can see some wonderful examples that we have in the Bible to tell us who these wonderful fathers are. But of course, we know the best example that we have is our Father in heaven. Jesus references God many times as the one to which he uses for that influence and for that guidance, and the one that he always points people to. And tonight, as we think about fathers and as we talk about what it means to be a good father, and that's what I want to focus on tonight, I think one example that we can go to in the Bible to use as an example of a good father is Abraham himself. In Genesis chapter 18, I think God sums it up for us. Before he's about to destroy Sodom and Gomorrah, God himself comes to Abraham to tell him what he's about to do. And in Genesis 18, beginning in verse 17, the Bible reads, "And the Lord said, Shall I hide from Abraham that thing which I do? Seeing that Abraham shall surely become a great and mighty nation, and all the nations of the earth shall be blessed in him. For I know him, that he will command his children and his household after him, and they shall keep the way of the Lord to do justice and judgment, that the Lord may bring upon Abraham that which he hath spoken of him." And later we can go to James chapter 2 and see, because of Abraham's faith and the type of individual that he was, James 2 and verse 23 says that Abraham was a friend of God. Think about that for a moment. God himself is calling you his friend based upon your faithfulness and the type of example that Abraham was. But it says in verse 19 specifically, as we focus in our attention just for a moment tonight, it says that he will command his children, his household after him, and they shall keep the way of the Lord. So what that says about Abraham was, here was a man that provided, protected, and gave to his family that which was necessary, but at the same time, he showed his family the spiritual way to go. And brethren, there is no greater example, I think, that we can have as fathers than to lead our children to Christ. Because after all, we are one generation away from apostasy. So it's very important for us, as the Bible tells us in Ephesians 6 and verse 4, that we are not to provoke our children to wrath, but to bring them up in the nurture and admonition of the Lord. We are to provide for them the spiritual necessities that they might continue to follow down the very same path that we want them to. But you see, God knew Abraham, and God commends Abraham for his faithfulness to his family and because he set a good example. Now, I'm pretty sure that the fathers in the audience tonight, like me, have not always been perhaps the best example and have made mistakes. As we know, when children are born, they don't come with instruction manuals other than what God gives us. So sometimes we're testing the waters, but sometimes we fall short and we make mistakes, and we don't want our children to make the same mistakes we did. But yet if we provide them an example to follow, to know that we too stumble and that we fall short of God's grace and His mercy, Romans 3:23, the best example they can see for us is that we get up and we continue to walk in the path of righteousness. Because if our children understand that being the most important thing, brethren, then we've given them the keys to salvation and success in eternity. So when we think about what it means to be a good father, I want to look at Abraham for just a few moments. And Abraham was a good father because he was present. I think it's extremely important for us in today's society to make sure that our children understand that we are there for them, especially as fathers being the example that we need to be, that they know that we have a presence in their life because we are the ones to bring them up and to walk and to show them the way. But unfortunately, sometimes men will pursue worldly careers and they chase after their careers and money and success, and many times their children are left to fend for themselves. I always think about that song, I think, that came out in the 60s, The Cat in the Cradle and the Silver Spoon. And we see the example of the father given in this particular song where he's never present for his son, but yet as he grows older, he wants the time back with his son, and his son says, "Sorry, Dad, I don't have any time for you either." I think about that in relation to our spiritual lives, and certainly if we don't follow the path of righteousness to be present, as God is always present in our lives, God Himself will one day says, "I'm sorry I don't have time for you because you never had time for me." I don't think that's the example that we want to leave for our children. And some fathers, of course, don't understand the true definition of what it means to be a parent because they themselves abandon their families because of their selfish ways and them wanting to be self-centered. And I always feel sorry for those children who don't have the father figure, who don't have those to guide them and to lead them. You see, Abraham never did any of these things because he was present as a father in his family's life. And God, even recognizing the fact here in Genesis chapter 18 that Abraham didn't do any of these things, that he was present, and wherever he went, it says he took his family with them. I will be the first to tell you, as I'm always willing to point out my flaws as a Christian, because I know I'm not perfect and I know I make mistakes. Sometimes I too have failed to be present in my children's lives. You see, when I first became a gospel preacher, I thought my job was to save the church. And at the same time, I almost lost my family. But yet when your wife gives you a visitor's card and says, "Request a visit from the preacher," then you get it. You see, I thought I was doing the Lord's work, but at the same time, later as an old gospel preacher told me, that said, "You've got to save your family first before you can save anybody else." And I certainly learned a valuable lesson, a hard lesson, but a valuable lesson, and I was thankful for it. Because our children need us to be present. They need us to see them leading as an example, to show them that we love them and that we care for them, and we want to see them brought up in the nurture and admonition of the Lord. So when you think about Abraham, he was a good father. He was present in his life, in his children's life. And we think about the other individuals in the Bible, like Noah and Isaac and Jacob and David and Solomon and some of the others that gave so much good advice. But at the same time, they were also present in their children's lives. You see, a father has to be present to bring them up in the nurture and admonition of the Lord. And to teach them the ways of the Lord, don't we need to be there to teach them? So when we think about what it means to be a good father, it certainly means that we have to be present in their lives. Children must know that they come first, obviously, after God, but they need to know that they're important and that we love them and that we're caring for them. But you consider also that God the Father promises to be present for His family, that who we are, it says in 1 Corinthians 8:6, "Yet to us there is one God, the Father, of whom are all things, and we unto Him, and one Lord, Jesus Christ, through whom are all things, and we through Him." And then you think about what Paul again writes in Ephesians 4 and verse 6, that one God and one Father of all, who is over all, through all, and in all. The great thing about our Father in heaven is we know that any time that we can call on Him day or night, and that He's always going to be present, and that He's always going to be there for us. What greater example do we have than that of our Heavenly Father? Because He is always present. So for us to understand what it means to be a good father has to be present. But also a good father has to be protective. Again, I think we find in today's world that many fathers are not a protection to their families, but rather a threat. Because they're not nurturing them in the admonition of the Lord. because they're not showing them the paths of righteousness and what it means to be a Christian. I think sometimes we see of how people, and I'm not judging people on the way they raise their children, but sometimes we see fathers, because they're more concerned with their personal endeavors, that they let their children do whatever their children want to do. And because of that, we also see the consequences later of what happens to the children, because the father wasn't present, and he certainly wasn't protecting their best interests. Because sometimes, just like God says no to us, it's okay for us to say no to our children. Because in that, we're protecting our children, and we're protecting their best interests. Though they might not always understand that. I didn't always understand when my parents said no to me. But as I became a parent, I later better understood why sometimes we must say no. Abraham was a father who protected his family. I mean, we recall one instance in which Lot and his family are taken captive by the king, and we read in Genesis chapter 14 that he himself went after to receive and bring Lot back to his fold. So here was a father who cared and who was going to be protective of what was in his best interest and certainly what was in the best interest of the Lord. You see, a good father seeks to protect his family at all cost. And certainly that means to protect their souls. I think sometimes the hardest thing for us as parents and as fathers is knowing that we have to send our children out into the world, and we can't always protect them, can we? Though we want to, as bad as we might try, we can't always be there with them 24/7, 7 days a week. But we can give them the example to protect them in spirit and in truth. Because if we are that example that are providing for them and doing what's necessary and raising them up in the nurture and admonition of the Lord, when they get out into the world, they understand that God is still there with them, but also their dad has taught them the way to walk in righteousness. And just as I've been appreciative of my father who helped raise me and my brother, who weren't always the best of kids, he was patient with us, he was protective of us, and he watched out for us. And for that I was always grateful. You see, when we think about it, we consider God the Father is also our protector. In Psalm 84 and verse 11, it reads, "For Jehovah God is a sun and a shield. Jehovah will give grace and glory. No good thing will be withholden from them that walk uprightly." In Proverbs 30 and verse 5, it reads, "Every word of God is tried. He is a shield unto them that take refuge in Him." When we need protection as God's children, where do we seek to take that refuge? Do we put our trust in who God is, knowing that He's going to protect us and that He's going to look out for us? That's where we should put our refuge. You know, one of the greatest things that I'm thankful for now, and I know this isn't always going to be the case because, as I said, my parents are getting older, and I'm not always going to have the counsel that I desire sometimes or that I need, but I'm thankful that even times today that I can call my dad and he's there to listen to me and give his opinion and to help me on things. God does the same thing for us, and that He's protecting us and looking out for us, and that we can go to Him in times of need, and we can bow our heads and we can pray to Him, and we can pour our hearts out to Him and know that God is going to listen to us because He loves us and because He cares for us. I think about John chapter 17, the great prayer that Jesus prayed before He's going to Gethsemane, and He's asking the Father for unity in all of these things, but we see that Jesus is pouring His heart out to God in this chapter. Because he knows who he's talking to, and he knows that God is listening to him. You see, a good father protects his own. He looks out for them. But finally, a good father is a provider. Some fathers fail to be providers. Why? Because some work, but they use their money for selfish means and for things that benefit them and not their families, and not watching out for them. Some fail to work at all and don't provide anything for their families. And we know what the Bible says about individuals that will not work, they will not eat. I always like the old adage that says, anyone can be a father, but it takes a real man to be a dad. I was blessed to have a dad. And what it means to truly be a dad is one that's going to provide for his children, and sometimes that means setting aside your own personal interests because your children's interest comes first. If you have kids in college, you understand this. Because you want them to succeed. You want them to have the best. You want your children to have things perhaps you didn't have because you care for them. Is that not what God did for us at Calvary to provide us salvation through the cross of Jesus Christ? Because He wants us to have what other folks did not have the opportunity to have in the Old Testament, and that we have the precious blood of Jesus who died at Calvary for all of us. So does God provide for us? Absolutely He does. When we think about Abraham as a good provider, in Genesis 13 and verse 2 it says that Abraham was rich in cattle and silver and in gold. Now we don't know what Abraham's life was really like and how he lived, but it said that he had all the necessities that he needed, and with the necessities that he had, it obviously that God provided, he gave to his family that which was his. A good father is going to provide for his children. I think about 1 Timothy 5 and verse 8, but if any provide not for his own, especially for those of his own house, he has denied the faith, and this is it, he is worse than an infidel. Think about that for a moment for those fathers who choose not to work and provide and be there for their children. God says you're worse than an infidel. That is, God has no patience or room for you if you're not going to provide for those that He's providing for. Because isn't that what it means to be a father? To have the greatest example that we have, knowing that God provides for us, that we too had to provide for our own as well. In the book of Proverbs, we find that a good father provides not only for his physical things, but also spiritually as well. And sometimes I think we forsake the spiritual for the physical. And sometimes we place emphasis more on the physical things of life and making sure that our kids are really successful, that we do forsake the spiritual things. But brethren, when they get old and they begin to teach their children, will they have the example in us to show them the way to Jesus? Because after all, we can't take those physical things with us. Sometimes perhaps we pressure our kids into specific things because we want them to be successful. But in the end, do those things really matter when we think about it? How much ball you played and how successful you were and all of these other things? And really, in light of all of the things we do in life, the one thing that matters the most if we're Christians and following the Lord. Because on the day of judgment, God's not going to care how many home runs you hit or how many trophies you have in your house. He's simply going to say, well done, thou good and faithful servant, or depart from me, I never knew you, ye that work iniquity. So to know that one day, brethren, fathers, and I'm talking to you, that we will answer for the fruit that we bared in our children. Because if they followed us in the example of not following the path of righteousness, we too will answer for that in judgment. And I don't know about you, but when I stand before the Father in judgment, I want to hear, good job. I don't want to hear, man, you were selfish. You were self-centered and all you cared about yourself and not your children. How sad that is. And I think about so many children who don't have the opportunity to know God because of their parents. And I always think about that song we often sing, You Never Mentioned Him to Me. There was a poem I came across several years ago, and I'll put it out there next week for you to have because I think it's a wonderful poem. And the title of the poem is, Please Daddy, Can't We Go? And through all of this, she's begging her father to take her to church. Please, Daddy, can we please, please go to church? Can we please go to Sunday school? Not today, don't bother me, we don't have time. But yet it goes on to say that when her father dies, he didn't have the time. I think about that when we get up in the morning and we're preparing for worship service and we choose that day not to go and our children are looking at us and asking us why. What answer do we give them? What excuse do we conjure up to think perhaps that's going to suffice and be good enough for them? There's really not an excuse we can give. I think about the parents that have come to me with tears streaming down their cheeks to say, Larry, my son or my daughter is no longer faithful to the Lord. And my question always is, did you bring them to church and did you give them an example? Because if not, we're the only ones to blame. Brethren, what our children see in us many times determines their spiritual future. And believe it or not, these children are paying attention. And sometimes I don't think we give them enough credit for how smart and how intelligent and how much they are paying attention to us. And sometimes it's not always easy to be the example that they need. I understand that because I myself have been there. But at the same time, I want my children to be able to stand up as they're talking about me at my funeral to at least say he was a Christian. If that's all they say and make fun of me the rest of the funeral, I'm good with that. But at least Dad was a Christian. Brethren, for us to be a good father, there's really not a lot that's required of us other than to make sure they know who Jesus is. Yes, we provide for them, we protect, and we're present. But all of those things equal what it means to be a father in Christ who's leading our children to heaven. Abraham was a good father because of all these things. But most of all, brethren, a good father is faithful to the Lord. Can we say that about ourselves tonight? Are we faithful? And have we given that example to our children for them to follow? Because after all, sometimes I know us fathers get a bad rap because Mother's Day is more important. I'll be the first to say it. And though this came a little bit after Father's Day, I'm still thankful to be a father. I'm thankful for mothers because of their love and patience and guidance they provide for our children. But when it comes down to it, we have an extremely important role in bringing our children up in the nurture and admonition of the Lord. And I'm for that very grateful that God has placed that responsibility in my hands. And I don't take it lightly. I don't. And like I said, I don't always get it right. And my kids sometimes laugh at me. And I'm okay with that. But if they're a Christian, then I've succeeded. If you're here tonight, and as a father, if you're struggling, you're not alone. Because we all struggle from time to time, and sometimes we simply need encouragement. And if you need encouragement tonight, we want to encourage you and tell you it's going to be okay. Sometimes we have to pray for patience and guidance and courage and strength. And sometimes we need all of those things as fathers. And sometimes we fall flat on our face, but thankful that we've got wives there to pick us up to help us get back on our feet. If you need to get back up today, we want to pray with you and we want to encourage you. And if you're here today because we have a good Father in heaven, He wants you to know that He wants you to be saved. He wants you to spend eternity with Him. You know, I remember as when I was stationed overseas and when I was in the military traveling, I thought when I got out of the house, my parents were ready to get rid of me because for my graduation present, my senior year, I got luggage. I'm not kidding. I got luggage. I thought, man, they're ready to get rid of me. It was nice luggage, but it was luggage. I'm thinking I didn't get money. I got luggage. Go. And before I even left, my room was converted to an office. So they were ready to get rid of me, but they really weren't. And as my mother said, the light was always on and I was welcome home anytime. The Father wants us to be at home with Him in eternity. So we have to make sure our bags are packed and we're ready for the trip. And if you're not a Christian tonight, to pack your bags, you need to follow the plan of salvation. That is, we've got to hear, we've got to believe, we've got to repent of our sins, confess our faith in Jesus Christ as the precious Son of God, Romans 10, 9 and 10, and to put on Jesus Christ in baptism, Acts 2:38 and Acts 22:16. You have the opportunity tonight as the good Father pleads with you as together we stand and as we sing.